our multi-generational service. So since we started Catalyst, one Sunday a month, we've dedicated to having all of the generations in our church come together and worship and hear the sermon together. We believe as a church that there's value in raising up the next generations by modeling what church is to them and helping them to know that church is for everyone, not just the adults. But as the years have gone on, we haven't messaged the purpose of multi-gen services the same as we did when we first started. So for a season, we had a bunch of kids in service, like right now, and we were talking to the adults. As a staff, we recognize that, and we're going to make some shifts moving forward to reimagine what multi-gen services look like so that everyone at church can experience together and have a good time. So one thing we wanted to do is invite all the youth. If you're still sitting in the back, if you want to come up and sit with the younger kids too, that would be awesome. Kids, I'm going to talk to you guys right now. So can you guys all look up here at me? I'm talking to all of you guys that are sitting in the front. This morning, I'm going to commit that this message is not just for the adults, but it's for all of you guys as well. I'm going to try to do my best to make it fun, engaging, and give you guys opportunities to participate. But I need your help. Do you guys think you guys can help me?
Yes.
Wait. Are you sure? Do you even know what you're saying yes to? Okay, well, I really do need your help. Okay, so for during the sermon time, can we put our toys away? Can we try to pay attention and participate? I'm going to try to make it fun. If something's really funny, let's laugh really loud. Riley, what does a laugh sound like, Riley? Now she gets nervous, right? If you need to get up and move around during the message, can we walk, not run? Sometimes when it's running, it's super loud. If you need to say something to your neighbor or to your mom and dad, can we whisper? That would help me out a lot. And then last thing, can we try to stay off the steps during the sermon? Because all of that is just really distracting, especially for the adults. They get distracted easy. So let's try to help them out too. Okay. If you guys can do that, that would help me out. That would help everyone else out. And we'll have a great time this morning. Okay, so now that my intro is done, let's get started. This week, we're kicking off a brand new series. We're going to be talking about the fruit of the Spirit. So each of the multi-gen services, we're going to be taking a break from our regular sermons. Right now, we're going through Ephesians. We're going to take a break from that, and we're going to talk about the fruit of the Spirit and a different characteristic each month. So kids, for those of you guys that are in the front, raise your hand if you're 3 years old or younger. Can you guys raise your hand if you're 3 years old or younger? All right, if you're 3 years old or younger, Riley is going to pass out, and Riley and Abby are going to help pass out clipboards and crayons to you guys. Okay? I want you guys to do me a favor. She's going to pass out clipboards and crayons. Can you guys draw me a picture of your favorite fruit? Okay? I want you to draw your favorite fruit. Okay? And if you get done with one, there's more than one piece of paper on each clipboard. Can you draw me more? And I'll tell you what we're going to do with them later. We're going to do something really special with them. So if you could help me out by drawing your favorite fruit, that's going to be awesome. That's going to help us out. Older kids, don't worry. I got a project for you guys later. This is for the younger kids. So we got something going on for you guys in a bit. So like I said, we're starting a series on the fruit of the Spirit, which is one of my favorite Bible verses. Does anybody know where we find the fruit of the Spirit? I heard someone. Micah, was that you? Oh, Eli. Eli said it's found in Galatians. That's correct. It's found in Galatians 5:22. So I brought up Dylan, and he's going to help read the fruit of the Spirit. Can we all do it together? We're going to put it on the screen. Can we do it together? Mike.
Galatians 5:22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law.
Whoa. I'm the grammar police, and that's wrong. It should be the fruits of the Spirit are. You can't be mixing singular and plural nouns like that.
Miss Officer, I think in this case you can. There's just one fruit, but it has all of those characteristics. It's like my favorite soda, the Suicide. It has one drink, but it has all the flavors.
Okay, Dylan, yeah, that drink is gross, but I think you have the right idea. You know, in our language, we don't have one word that fully describes all the characteristics that we see in those verses. So Paul, who's the author of Galatians, helps us to understand that it's only one fruit that contains all of those characteristics.
Okay, I'll let you off this time. But just so you know, I'm keeping my eyes and ears on you.
Matt! 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 Wrong one! Wrong one!
Wrong one! Wrong one!
It's slide two. Oh shoot, I forgot to turn my phone off! Oh, it's my cousin Terrence! He's coming to visit tomorrow. It must be important. Let's see what he wants. Hey, Terrence!
Hey, cuz, it's me, Terrence! Well, I got a couple things I wanted to talk to you about. First, don't forget to pick me up early tomorrow at the airport. Okay.
Yeah. I'm in the middle of something. But, I mean, see, look, I'm doing this.
Okay, second, I'm just so excited about my trip. Well, I'll keep it short. My friends have been talking about this thing called an orange. Do you know what that is? Well, I'm sure you do. You live in California. Well, I'm so excited. But I've never even seen or heard of what that is. So I wanted to see if you could help me out. I found some things online, and I wanted to see if you could tell me what an orange is.
Hey, kids. Terrence wants to know if we can help him. Do you think we could help him?
Yeah!
All right, yes, Terrence, we could help you.
Okay. Well, here we go. How about this one?
All right, kids, not an orange?
Or this one?
What about that?
What about this?
This one?
Is this an orange? How about this one? Maybe this?
Hey, Dad, I don't think this is gonna work. You can't really know what an orange is just by looking at pictures. Even a toy orange might look right, but there's so much more to an orange than what it looks like. I just have to have one in my pocket. Without having an actual orange, he wouldn't know what it's like to peel it. And the smell of his fingers after peeling.
Thanks, little cuz, for pointing that out.
He wouldn't even know how to taste.
I guess with all these pictures I've been finding, they just give me an image of what an orange is. But for me to really know, I have to taste it for myself and have one in my hand and everything. Well, I guess I can't wait to see you, and please bring an orange with you to the airport when you pick me up. Later.
Wow, Dylan, you know, that was pretty insightful. And I think that's why Paul calls these the fruit of the Spirit. There's a lot more to these characteristics than what we see in the world. There's something about them that we need to be connected to the Holy Spirit to experience, or else we only just get an image of them. You know, when Jesus was on earth, he said things like this. You know, in Matthew 5:43-48, he said, "You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your Heavenly Father is perfect." So the world may tell us that love is a feeling and to love the people that love you back, like your dad. But God says that perfect love looks like even loving those people that hate you. You know, that's something I can't do on my own. In order for me to do that, I need the Holy Spirit. So when we think of the fruit of the Spirit, we need the Holy Spirit to really experience the fullness of it. But today we're not focusing on love. That's not the fruit, the characteristic that we're talking about. We're focusing on peace. Can anyone help me? What does peace mean? Hey Jackson, what about you? What does peace mean? Yeah, that's what the world tells us, right? Peace means no wars, no conflicts, no fighting, right? So a lot of times when we think about peace, it's about the absence of something, right? Like the absence of fighting, the absence of chaos, the absence of war. So for me, like when it seems like there's chaos at home, you know, and my kids are fighting, or when they're watching Stephen He videos and saying emotional damage all around the house, you know, sometimes I just want peace and quiet. So I might tell them to go in different rooms so they stop fighting. And I might think that there's peace in our house just because it's quiet. But is that really peace? Or do they just start fighting again when they're in the same room? So rather than me trying to define peace and what the Bible is talking about when it talks about peace, I found a video from the Bible Project that can do a way better job in less time than I can. So let's watch the video.
The word peace is common in most languages. People can talk about peace treaties or times of peace. It means the absence of war. And in the Bible, the word peace can refer to the absence of conflict, but it also points to the presence of something better in its place. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew word for peace is shalom. And in the New Testament, the Greek word is eirene. The most basic meaning of shalom is complete or whole. The word can refer to a stone that has a perfect, whole shape with no cracks. It can also refer to a completed stone wall that has no gaps and no missing bricks. Shalom refers to something that's complex with lots of pieces that's in a state of completeness, wholeness. It's like Job, who says his tents are in a state of shalom because he counted his flock and no animals are missing. This is why shalom can refer to a person's well-being. Like when David visited his brothers on the battlefield, he asked about their shalom. The core idea is that life is complex, full of moving parts and relationships and situations, and when any of these is out of alignment or missing, your shalom breaks down. Life is no longer whole, it needs to be restored. In fact, that's the basic meaning of shalom when you use it as a verb. To bring shalom literally means to make complete or restore. So Solomon brings shalom to the unfinished temple when he completes it. Or if your animal accidentally damages your neighbor's field, you shalom them by giving them a complete repayment for their loss. You take what's missing and you restore it to wholeness. The same goes for human relationships. In the book of Proverbs, to reconcile and heal a broken relationship is to bring shalom. And when rival kingdoms make shalom in the Bible, it doesn't just mean they stop fighting, it also means they start working together for each other's benefit. This state of shalom is what Israel's kings were supposed to cultivate, and it rarely happened. So the prophet Isaiah, he looked forward to a future king, a prince of shalom. And his reign would bring shalom with no end. A time when God would make a covenant of shalom with his people and make right all wrongs and heal all that's been broken. This is why Jesus' birth in the New Testament was announced as the arrival of eirene. Remember, that's the Greek word for peace. Jesus came to offer his peace to others, like when he said to his followers, "My peace I give to you all." The apostles claimed that Jesus made peace between messed up humans and God when he died and rose from the dead. The idea is that he restored to wholeness the broken relationship between humans and their creator. This is why the Apostle Paul can say Jesus himself is our eirene. He was the whole complete human that I am made to be but have failed to be. And now he gives me his life as a gift. And this means that Jesus' followers are now called to create peace. Paul instructed local churches to keep their unity through the bond of peace, which requires humility and patience and bearing with others in love. Becoming people of peace means participating in the life of Jesus, who reconciled all things in heaven on earth, restoring peace through his death and resurrection. So peace takes a lot of work, because it's not just the absence of conflict. True peace requires taking what's broken and restoring it to wholeness, whether it's in our lives, our relationships, or in our world. And that's the rich biblical concept of peace.
So when we think of peace, it's a lot more than just the absence of fighting. It's actually the presence of wholeness, where things are the way that they were intended to be. But that's not something that I can do on my own. That's something that I need the Holy Spirit for.
Dad, I don't think I have shalom right now. I've got to go to the bathroom.
All right, he might be a while, so let me continue to talk about peace and shalom. Jewish people use shalom the way that we use hello and goodbye, or like Hawaiian people use aloha. It's like a blessing that they give each time that they see someone. It's like they say, I bless you with wholeness and peace. So let's try that together. Can we all turn to a neighbor and say shalom? So you just gave your neighbor a blessing. That wasn't that hard, was it? God wants us to experience shalom, things being the way that they were intended to be, whole, not just the way that the world describes peace, like the absence of fighting or the absence of chaos. The world may tell us that we can experience peace on the inside when things on the outside are peaceful. You know, like when we see all those commercials that show us going out into nature, that's when we think that peace is. That's what the way the world paints it. We have to be free from the chaos in order for us to experience peace. But that's not the way that God wants it for us. He wants us to be able to experience peace even when everything on the outside is crazy. Sorry, my assistant isn't ready yet. So, yes, God wants us to experience peace even when things are crazy on the outside. He wants us to experience peace on the inside. Where's your mic? So I was supposed to say, hey, look, it's Dil Nye the Science Guy!
I think I have an experiment that might show you what we're talking about.
So let's go follow him to his laboratory.
Welcome to my laboratory. In this four-part experiment, we're going to show how God wants us to experience peace. For part one, we're going to show what happens to somebody when something bad happens. For our experiment, this is going to represent us, and this is going to represent the bad thing that happens. This is what happens when something bad happens to us. Have you ever felt like that? When something bad happens to you and you just want to explode? In part two of our experiment, we're going to show how the Lord wants us to hold it in and show peace on the outside. This is what happens when we try to hold it in so it seems like we have peace. When we try to hold it in, it'll always end up coming out. God wants something different for us. In part three of our experiment, we're going to show what happens when we connect to God every once in a while by going to church once a week. When we go to church on Sunday, God fills up us up a little bit. Church is good once a week, but we still haven't untapped our full potential of peace. In part four, we're going to show how God wants to see peace in our lives. God wants us to constantly be filling us up.
a big explosion.
Man, Dylan's been in the bathroom for a long time. Hopefully he'll come back soon. All right, so we didn't practice this, the transitions as well as I thought we were going to, but... And originally he was supposed to have the lapel mic, but we have technical difficulties. But even in the midst of technical difficulties, we can have peace, right?
Sorry, what did I miss?
Oh, you missed Dil Nye, the science guy, teach us a little bit more about peace and how God wants to fill us with peace all day, every day. God wants us to be connected with him so that he can fill us with his peace. So that whatever comes along, we will experience peace. Even if something really bad happens. You know, I think it was a mistake, but it was interesting that in the last experiment, the one that showed God filling us up, when Dil Nye was putting the bad experiences in, they didn't even want to go in the bottle. It just kept popping out, right? And then you picked it up and kept popping out. It's like when we're filled with God's Spirit, sometimes the bad things don't just seem as bad. They might not affect us even at all.
Bummer. I always liked watching Dil Nye. He's my favorite.
So as we wrap up, I think there's a Bible story that can illustrate what God wants peace in our lives to look like. First, I want us to read a passage from Psalm 23:4. Can you read that?
Psalm 23:4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me.
So God wants us to have peace even when we're walking through the valley of the shadow of death. That seems scary to me. He doesn't just want it when everything seems to be going our way or when everything seems comfortable and easy. So that's what makes the fruit of the Spirit so special. When we recognize that the Holy Spirit is with us, this is what that connection produces.
That reminds me of a time when the disciples were on a boat with Jesus, but not in a good way.
Yeah, that story was actually part of our reading plan this week, when Jesus calmed the storm. I mean, I actually kind of messed up when I put it on the website this week. I put too many verses, but that's okay. I have peace about it. So in the story, there was a storm, and the disciples were afraid. Wait, maybe we should just read this one too.
Okay. Mark 4:38-40. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?"
So Jesus expected his disciples to not be afraid in the middle of the storm. The disciples knew Psalm 23:4. They had it memorized, but it was only in their head. They were supposed to recognize that Jesus was with them and not be afraid. But they only saw the wind and the waves and the storm around them, and they forgot that Jesus was with them. This experience showed them that Jesus was right there with them. And they didn't really need to be afraid. They could have peace in the midst of the storm, just like he did.
Jesus seemed pretty peaceful. He was still sleeping.
Yeah, that's why I believe he said to the storm, "Peace, be still." He was just releasing the peace that was inside of him because he knew that God was with him. He had it within him, and he was releasing that to the storm.
I want to be like that, where I can have peace and give peace out too.
Yeah, I think that's what God wants for all of us. He wants us to know that he is always with us. He wants to fill us with his Spirit so that we can have peace all the time. Then when difficult things come and when bad things happen, we can bring peace to other people. And they'll notice that we're responding differently. And it's because we are filled with his Spirit.
Yeah, when we were running in the rain last week, I was so focused on not wanting to be in the rain, I forgot that you were running with me. And you actually had a pretty good attitude about running in the rain, even though I know you don't like the rain.
You know, we were running in the rain last week because you were training for your cross-country league finals. And I really wanted you to know that even though we were running in the rain, and I really don't like the rain, but I was going to do it with you. I wasn't just going to make you go out and do it by yourself. You know, I know you didn't like it. I know you didn't enjoy it. But for me, it's actually a good memory of a time when we got to spend some time together. So, for all of us out there, I'm sure you're asking, how can we experience more peace? So, I have something that I actually borrowed from John Hino, and it's something that I've been trying to do a lot recently. So, I have it actually on the screen. This is a prayer that I say each morning. I say it a little bit differently, but this is, for us, since we're talking about peace today, this is something, it's really simple. It could be something that we do each morning. 30 seconds to a minute, doesn't take a long time. But it's so that we can recognize that God is with us and that we can receive the peace that He wants for us. So, for our application, this is more of a prayer. It says, God, You are with me today, and I receive the peace that You have for me. And I declare that the enemy will not steal the peace that You have for me today. And then after we're done praying that, just tell God one thing that you're thankful for.
That doesn't sound that hard.
Yeah, it's not supposed to be hard. We receive peace as a gift from God. And not because we really have to work hard and strive to get peace, but because He wants to give it to us and He wants us to receive it. All right, so let's all give Dylan a hand. Thanks, Dylan, for helping us with the message. All right, so older kids, right now I have a couple things that I want to say to the adults. So now it's your turn. So if you see some of the clipboards, we should have some extras. I would like for you guys to grab a clipboard and some paper and some crayons. If you guys need help passing them out, that'd be great. What I want you to do now, you guys have been practicing this, right? I want you to pray and seek the Lord and ask him for a picture of what peace looks like. And then I want you to draw it. So during the second worship set, what we're going to do is I want everyone, younger kids, older kids that drew a picture, I want you to pray and ask God who you could bless your picture of peace with today. Someone in our congregation is going to receive a blessing from you guys today through this picture. And they're going to remember when they see it. I remember when we talked about the fruit of the Spirit of peace, and this picture reminds me of it when they see it. Okay? So, right now, older kids, it's your turn. I have some things I want to say to the adults. So, adults, I just want to say, first off, I want to thank you. You know, Dylan came up here and he did a great job. I'm so proud of him as his dad. And I remember the first time that he had to come up on stage, it was for one of the Easter or Christmas programs, and we were doing like a Minions thing, and he really did not want to come up on stage and sing with everybody else. He was so nervous, he was like crying. My sister had to actually come up and sit with him on her lap just to get him to come up. And now to see where he is now, it's just an amazing transformation. And so I want to say thank you to all of the adults out there that have spoken into him, that have walked with him in his spiritual journey. I mean, even just since the retreat, when Brett had him pray, you know, over the church, and he was so nervous. And to see him give up and help give the message, I'm so proud. And a lot of it's because of you guys and opportunities that we've had, things like this, multi-gen, where you guys have been able to speak into him. I just want to say thank you. As a church, we want to raise up this next generation to be resilient followers of Jesus. You know, like I said, Dylan has come a long way. It was interesting, this morning during our intercessory time, we had a time of prayer, and it was cool because Anna was here. And it brought to mind a time before Dylan was born and we were pregnant, and Anna came and she said a prayer and said, I felt like the Lord wants to bless you with peace and joy. And it was cool because Dylan's middle name actually means peace and joy. And we had just decided on that. And she didn't know that, but she felt like the Lord wanted to bless him with that. And so I know growing up with Dylan, when he was growing up and seeing him not wanting to go up on stage and having so much anxiety about it, and I knew that that was not God's plan for him. I knew that God wanted something. And the enemy was trying to come in and steal that peace from him by giving him that anxiety. And so just want to say thank you to all the adults, because to see where he is now, he's been able to step into more of who God made him to be. And really, that's what we want for all of our kids. So for multi-gen services, I just want to, you know, exhort you guys. Step into your roles as aunties, uncles, moms, dads, grandmas, grandpas. We all have a role to play in helping to raise up this next generation. So step into it. It's really cool. You know, this God's timing is always crazy. So this week, randomly, Mimo texted me, and it was this awesome text message that really touched me, and it really had something to say about what we're talking about right now, stepping into our role and helping to raise up the next generation. So I just wanted to invite Mimo up. Instead of me trying to summarize what she said, I thought it'd be better for her just to come up and read it. So let's invite Mimo.
All right, guys, so like, oh my gosh, 15, 10 years ago, Kyle and I used to be in the front with the kids. My boys, when they're much lighter and younger, were on my back, one at a time. Well, actually, no, I've had two at a time too, but we would jump around and sing. So it makes me really happy to see you moms and dads here with your kids too. All right, so this is from Tuesday. I was spending time with God. So just want to share what he gave me. And some of you have gotten it already, so I apologize. Okay, I just want some more time. This is what a wife of a cancer patient said to me yesterday as tears rolled down her face. They have two young children, and her husband just started treatments. Time. As I pray and sit with God this morning, it hit me again how much I take time for granted. I brush off things or say to myself, I can do that later. But none of us guarantee the time that we think we have. Our days are numbered. Life is a mist. We're here 1 minute and gone the next. How often do I ignore or decline the requests of my kids to play silly games or to do something with them because I'm busy? How often do I say no to Kyle when he wants to spend time with me together? How often do I think, oh, I'll call my parents later? How often do I say no to God when he wants me to slow down, stop, listen, and follow him because I'm too busy? Time. My prayer for us is that we thank God for the time he has given us and that we don't waste it on staring at the screens and the distractions that the world offers us. The enemy wants us divided and disconnected from each other and from God. We are such busy, easy targets. The enemy wants us to choose the easy, wide path and not Jesus' narrow path of life, truth, and grace. The enemy wants us to think of the delights and pleasures of now, not our eternity with Jesus. May we trust God, let our roots grow deep into his love, which gives us strength. May we experience daily how big, how wide, how high, and how deep his love is for his children. May we allow him to work in us so we can experience life to the full in Christ. May we choose to journey along the narrow path because Jesus walks with us. May we use our time that is given to us to glorify Jesus.
Thanks, Mimo. So adults, I want to encourage you, take these opportunities that we have. As a church, like I said, we're going to be trying to make some shifts to really enhance and give opportunities for us to do things multi-generationally and raise up this next generation. So I want to leave you with one question. If you knew that one of these kids sitting up here in the front was going to be the next pastor of our church, would we do things differently? Would we change how we interact with them? Would we change how we speak to them? Would we step out and reach out to them or help to raise them? Or maybe it's you might help do Sunday school in the mornings. We have a lot of awesome kids. I look around. We have a lot of awesome people in our church. And that's something I always tell everyone. I just love our church. We have some amazing people. So I just want to say thank you. Thank you for your role in helping me to raise my kids. And I'm excited as we move forward and helping to raise all these kids to be the next generation of resilient followers of Jesus. So let's pray together as we close. God, we just thank you for a chance to gather together as a church family and talk about peace and shalom and how you want us to be who we were created and called to be. God, I just thank you for each one of these people and each one of these kids and your plans for them. And I'm excited to see who you have made each one of them to be. So God, I just pray that each person that's here today will experience more and more of your peace and shalom as they connect with you each day this week. So God, we just thank you for who you are, and we're excited for all the things that you have in store for us as a church family and as individuals. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for our online service. Hope you will join us in person sometime. It'll be great to see you and meet you. Don't forget to subscribe to our Catalyst YouTube channel so you don't miss out on anything. And be blessed this week. And as always, thank you, Jesus.